for the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And welcome into the weekend kickoff on a Saturday morning once again, ESPN Radio, Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Big T. He's a busy man. He's always out there doing something important. So lots to get to here today. NFL, MMA, lots of other things on the docket as well. How are you guys doing this morning?
That's good morning. How you doing?
I'm trying to stay awake after doing the overnight on Comp 92.3. And real quick, I would like to mention, because no other show, I guarantee you, in the city will mention it, congratulations to Asia Muhammad, who won the doubles championship in the tournament she was playing in China. Wrapped that up about 4:20 this morning. I was watching it on Tennis Channel. So Las Vegas' own Asia Muhammad wins the doubles title over in China. And now I believe she'll be going on to the Wuhan Open next week,
and
also in China.
I must say you are 100% correct.
That nobody else will mention
that. No one else will be talking about that.
Nobody else knows it, I guarantee.
It's football season, Frank.
Well, it's Vegas' own. I have to mention, I've seen her play.
Wait.
I've seen her play. Shabazz Muhammad's sister, by the way.
Oh, well, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So now what are you going to say there, Mr. Smarty Pants? I saw that you were about to say something. Go ahead. Chirp away. Chirp. Go ahead.
I don't know if he was going to say something or he was going to yawn.
I was going to. No, that too. No. I was going to say, I mean, you're the only one here that watches tennis in the building.
That's right. And, yeah. And that's why I love the Asia Pacific Tour, because at 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep, I've been watching it from Tokyo. I was watching St. Petersburg and Moscow with the men's tournament, also Metz France, and then, of course, in China as well. Several tournaments going on right now. But now, let's talk about something that people do care about.
There is actually a lot to get to today. Obviously, NFL tomorrow, we got some big games on the docket. We had an insane game the other night, which I did not expect to go down the way we did. But we also got some UFC fights tonight. And I don't know if you've been watching tonight, Chris Cyborg, everyone knows, just probably the baddest woman on the planet. She is fighting. And I don't know if you've seen it, but this week she went through one of the worst, the most hellacious weight cuts ever. Absolutely drained. She did make weight. She was needed that 1 pound allowance for the 140 catch weight, but she did make 141. But man, she looked absolutely drained. Reminded me of, do you remember, Armando, that time that James, the Sandman Irvin, decided to drop to 185? Looking like Skeletor on the scales. That's what it looked like yesterday. I felt really bad for her. And that somebody put out made a documentary on Cyborg, and they go, it's outstanding stuff. Check it out if you get a chance.
Yeah, and I saw Kevin Iolino had posted earlier in the week that she had to lose 20 pounds after Tuesday, and it was like 25 pounds as of Monday or whatever. Oh. So, I mean, to get on the scales yesterday,
When is the UFC going to realize that she cannot go down?
You know, when is she going to realize? And that's the thing, is I think she's constantly tried to say she wants to
be in the UFC.
She says that she could make 130. There's no way.
No, of course
there's
not.
No way Chris Cyborg makes 135. So, you know, if we are ever going to see that, you know, what would have been a dream match, which was Ronda and Cyborg, which, you know, hey, it hasn't happened yet, but what we talk about this with the boxing. What happens if Canelo or Triple G loses before they end up fighting each other? You don't get the same type of pop. And that's the same thing we have if Ronda and Chris Cyborg ever do meet. Because no one really...
I think the people would be...
Anyone's going to be interested to see Ronda come back. And there is a little news breaking rumors
supposedly.
On that. And we will talk about that a little later. We also do want to talk about... There's actually a lot of things going on behind the scenes with the UFC this week. Some of it really disturbing. Some of it very, very funny. I don't know if you guys saw about Tyron Woodley. Welterweight champ is not happy with the UFC right now. Yeah. Eddie Alvarez, the lightweight champ, is not happy with the UFC right now. And the fans seem to not be happy with the UFC right now, and we'll get into that, you know. But
and real quick, just to backtrack, that's the reason that Ronda Rousey never said, "I'm never going to go up," and she's got to come down to my 135, because Ronda knows she can't make
absolutely.
That either.
And Ronda used to fight.
And if she does, if she ever made it down there, she would be a shell of herself.
Ronda used to fight at 145. I always thought that was the funniest thing, that she used to fight at 145 in Strikeforce, was tearing people apart. As soon as they mentioned that, hey, you know, we're going to set up this fight, you and Cyborg, she's like, nah, dude, I'm dropping down. That bantamweight title looks good. I want to fight Misha. I want to fight Sarah Kaufman. That's what I want, and that's what she got. And people forget that. I think Ronda at 145 is probably, you know, I think it's a great weight for her. I think she'd keep a lot of the power. I think it would be, you know, a good weight class. And let's be honest, besides Cyborg, in women's MMA, that 145 division is so bare and scarce.
Is that why they won't make a division? I mean,
who can? I mean, Coker. In Bellator, they do have one, but you got Marlon Kunin. You don't have a lot of girls fighting in it. You don't have a lot of top-notch talent.
No, well, okay. We could have said the same thing, you know, a few years back of the, you know, the bantamweights, and they came up with the 115. Really, when the Ultimate Fighter started with the smaller weights, did you really think it was going to take off the way it did? I mean,
actually, I thought it would take off better.
Did you?
I did. I've always been a fan of the lighter weights. I think they're a lot more entertaining.
I do know that about you.
They're fast. They're fun. Their accuracy is usually on point. It's a lot of fun to watch these guys move around. Their scrambles are intense.
I agree.
But, you know, it hasn't picked up because people still do want the heavyweights. They always do. The bigger you are, the harder you punch, the more excitement you're going to garner.
Well, I don't know. Some of those that. I'm not even going to attempt to say anything, but Joanna can punch like there's no tomorrow.
Joanna's a horse of a different color, too. You know, right? This is a girl who's a world champion striker before she even stepped into MMA.
Yeah.
And that's why if you get one fighter like that in the weight classes, they stand out so much. I mean, that's one thing, the Mighty Mouse Johnson in the men's divisions.
Oh, yes.
You know, he's a guy who can knock people out. Most guys down there can't.
What do you think about the Ultimate Fighter, the favorite losing?
Still not watching it, dude.
Oh, come on.
Now, you mentioned this last week, and I remember you said something. You text me afterwards. You're like, yo, my buddy just texted me and said, DVR, Phil. There's DVR. Yeah. And I said that I watch too much TV. Thought about this, and holy cow, do I watch too much TV? The answer is you watch way too much TV, Phil. I can't DVR The Ultimate Fighter on Wednesday because I have like four other shows that I DVR. and like
dude,
two of them.
Yeah,
really. And Frank,
what the hell is worth watching?
That's just, okay. All right, we're going to go.
Oh,
Do you want to do Wednesday?
No, wait.
What I watch on Wednesday, the same time as The Ultimate Fighter, Mr. Robot. If you're not watching Mr. Robot, I'm sorry. Dude, great show. It's like Fight Club, but a sitcom.
Season finale's passed.
South Park just started. I will never, ever miss an episode of South Park. The greatest show on TV.
But don't they show South Park like six different times?
You gotta
watch it first.
No, you gotta watch it the first time it's on.
Don't they show The Ultimate Fighter a few times?
No, I don't
think
they do.
They show it twice on Wednesday nights.
Well, let's continue with Wednesday night, and then a couple hours later.
A couple hours later, I'm taping The Goldbergs. I don't know if you watch The Goldbergs.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I watch way too much. That's just Wednesday, folks. That's just Wednesday. Not including Tuesday. Tuesday, you got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You got it doesn't end, Frank. First world problem.
The only show in there that you mentioned that I watch is the one that you don't watch, and that's The Ultimate
Fighter.
And by the way, just to correct you real quick, it wasn't the number one seed that got beat.
Nope.
It was number two.
Number two. Oh.
He lost to the 15 seed because the one seed actually beat the 16 seed in the first fight of the season. And it was actually a very competitive fight.
Yes,
it was.
It was
a pretty good season. This
has been
a fun season to watch.
Of course it is. It's because I'm not watching it anymore. It's fun. Like, see, I think I grew tired of the Ultimate Fighter, Ronda and Misha season. That's when I was like done. It started with Chael and Jon Jones season. And then ever since then, I've been uninterested. I really have been.
See, I just like the format this year because you have fighters from all over the world. You have two coaches that want to be fighting for the title, and they're literally training somebody that's going to take the fight that they want. So there's a little bit of bitterness there. Then you have these guys from all over the place. And, you know, most people would think, well, okay, they're going to take on Johnson, Mighty Mouse, so they can't beat him anyhow. And every time I see that, I think of, really? Because that's what people said when Matt Serra was on The Ultimate Fighter and he got a shot against GSP. Might be a one in a million thing, but it's already happened once. It could happen again. Maybe somebody here can actually give Demetrius Johnson a fight because nobody else can.
Yeah, nobody's been able to. It's, you know, he is far and above everybody else in that weight class for sure. Let's move on quickly about from MMA. But actually, wait, let's Whoa. Not. Last night, did you get to watch Invicta?
I did not watch Invicta.
Invicta, another great show. I don't know. It's aired on UFC Fight Pass. They don't have a TV contract right now, but on UFC Fight Pass, there's a lot of eyes watching it. Invicta put on a hell of a card, and Roxanne Modafferi, she did not win, but she lost a split decision in her title fight to Jennifer Maia. So, you know, it was a hell of a fight. Congratulations to Jennifer, and congratulations to Roxanne, who... Vegas resident now, trains over at Syndicate. She's made that transition here to Vegas. She's been here a few years. You know, tough loss, but definitely great showing. But NFL Thursday night, Patriots just absolutely spanked the Texans. Did you guys see it going down like that?
I knew Belichick would have him ready and he'd have something up his sleeve. But the fact that the Texans showed absolutely nothing, and here you have a third-string quarterback who also got hurt, so we might see Julian Edelman playing quarterback in their fourth game. They basically have to get through one more without Tom Brady. Then Brady comes back. But I'm looking at it going, everybody in Houston must be looking going, wait, we got Osweiler, we paid him the millions of dollars, and we can't do anything? By the way, how does their defense not stop this kid going in there?
I was about to say, they have J.J. Watt. They have Jadeveon Clowney. Where are these guys? But then you look who they're playing against, and you see that they're very well taken care of. They're getting blocked. They can't get through I didn't know that the Patriots had such a fantastic O-line. When did that happen?
The Patriots are always good. They're good everywhere. You know, there was a little talk in the beginning of the season that it was going to be their defense that was going to be their downfall. The defense was on fire the other night. Would they have two fumble recoveries, an interception? I mean, they made Osweiler look bad.
And they completely shut them down in every aspect of the game.
Osweiler's making Houston look bad.
Quit. And who's calling the plays for Houston? They have a third and four. They throw a little one-yard screen pass to the fullback with no blockers out front. Doesn't come close. Then they go for it on a fourth and two a little bit later, and that's the one that they throw downfield. By the way, Osweiler throws it about 10 yards over the guy's head out of bounds, so he doesn't even have a shot for it. I'm looking at it going, give me the job. I can't do any worse than this, and I'll take the money.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Jacoby Brissett and the possible injury, and that he may
possible.
No. Well, I mean, I know he is injured. He is injured. Does he need surgery? I don't think that's been confirmed yet.
Belichick's not a doctor. It's not his job to do that.
He played well. It's on to the next game. It's on to the next game.
I'm not a doctor. They do that. I call the plays.
We don't. Everyone did their job. It was done the way it should have been. We had a good game. On to next week.
Next man up.
Next man up.
Now, do you think we see Edelman at quarterback?
We might.
Why not? Who'd they just sign? Didn't they just sign somebody the week before, prior?
No. Edelman was a backup quarterback.
He was their
emergency
backup.
Although Belichick would not admit to that, he basically said, well, we might see Garoppolo, who knows, although we knew we weren't going to see Garoppolo. But no, I mean, and then they asked him about, well, Edelman had played quarterback in college. He hasn't played in this league. But he didn't rule it out either. Bill Belichick never gives you anything.
No.
Bill Belichick should play in the World Series of Poker because he gives you nothing.
No tells whatsoever. No tells. Injuries galore this week. We were talking about it before we went on the air. DeMarcus Ware, Jonathan Stewart, Adrian Peterson. Now, that's a big blow.
Really?
Of course it's a big blow.
Why? He hasn't done anything? He didn't do anything?
It's the second game. By the way, you know what? I want to apologize to you. Last week and for all week, I was giving you nothing but heartache saying that you could not say that the Raiders stunk because of their defense. That there was that one part of the game does not control. Man, you're right. The Raiders may stink because of their defense. I mean, their offense is looking good, but their defense is horrible. They have given up over 1,000 yards in two games.
By the way, real quick, on Armando's point, when you say why is the Peterson injury big, it's because of the way that teams will scheme against them now. Now they're really going to put it up there, and they're going to say, okay, Bradford, let's see what you can do, because Asiata and the other guys, they're not convinced that they're although Peterson wasn't doing anything, his presence on the field still changes the way that you game plan for them.
Always changes, game plan. And now you got to think how you feel as a Vikings fan. I mean, you got Bradford, that you weren't too happy about it, but then he actually goes out and he beats the Packers.
He played pretty well.
He did.
And their defense is really good, which we said before the season started, that if they're going to win, they're going to win by that. But it's Bridgewater goes down. Now Peterson, it's like every game, it's like, what the hell's next?
Yeah, I don't know what's next.
They can't afford a next.
Now, we don't have a lot of time. I know we do have to go to a break, and we do have a guest coming up at the in the next segment. Alex Dono from the Alex Dono Show down in Miami is going to be joining us. But you guys this week had a little argument on Facebook.
It was
an argument, and it's one that neither of you can possibly win, but I'll each give you the floor for a second. I think it was Tom Barton who put up a picture.
No, it was Chris Wynn.
Okay, Chris Wynn put up a picture.
Tom Barton commented
on it. Of Barry Sanders and said that greatest of all time. And then you chimed in and you said, well, I don't see Walter Payton in there.
Exactly, because Walter Payton was definitely the greatest of all time.
Greatest football player ever. What about you? What are your thoughts on it? Do you think that Walter Payton's the greatest of all time?
I do not. I think it's Jim Brown.
Jim Brown was great, but he's not as great as Walter Payton.
Okay, I will give you the fact that Walter Payton is the greatest human being in this.
They have an award after him.
Yeah, I will give you that. But I'm talking stats here, Frank. I'm talking what they did on the football field.
Okay, and did you look at the stats that they had?
Look.
Walter Payton's number two all-time rusher.
Yes. Over 16,000 yards.
That's it. Walter Payton. Then it's, Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith is one.
And then it's Walter Payton.
Barry Sanders. Curtis Martin.
Now, mind you, he goes and says his name to me, because we're talking about it afterwards, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He's not even top 10. And then we look it up, and I'm like, snap.
I mean, if you're just going to go based on yardage, then you have to put a guy like that in there. What about a guy like LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah. And
LT is fifth, actually. And he is right ahead of Jerome Bettis, then Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett, Jim Brown, and Marshall Faulk wrapping out the top 10.
And then in the end, I mean, if you really, really want to say, Barry Sanders just decided to quit, or else he would have all these records if he hadn't decided to just step back and say goodbye. I'm done.
Walk off into the sunset, man. Yeah. That's the way to go. You go out on top.
But from what the quality of work and what Jim Brown did in such little time, he's the best.
You like Jim Brown because he walked away from the game because he was sleeping with an actress while he was making the movie The Dirty Dozen. They said he had to come to training camp, and he said, no, I'm going to stay here, keep on sleeping with this actress and that. And when they said, you didn't need to come to camp, he said, I'm retiring. That's the stories and rumors that were out at that time.
Yes, it was.
By the way, Joe Rogan's stand-up act on Jim Brown is the funniest thing you will ever hear. I can't repeat it, but it is the funniest thing you will ever hear. A lot of people don't remember UFC 1. Jim Brown was a commentator. This is a Hoyce Gracie trained guy, and he came in there. But funny stand-up by Joe Rogan, for sure.
By the way, real quick, just to wrap up the argument here, because we're never going to agree on it.
No, we're not.
Peyton was the Bears' third-string quarterback, backup kicker, made all the tackles whenever they turned the ball over, and trust me, back in those days, they turned the ball over a lot with the crappy quarterbacks they had. Would have been an all-pro on defense. Bottom line, though, when Emmitt Smith and Jim Brown were asked who the greatest running back of all time was, they said Walter Payton.
I've never heard Jim Brown say that, but okay. So there you go. I have Emmitt, Barry, everybody else I have, but not Jim Brown. I don't think he has that in him.
Anyway, that is going to wrap up this segment here. We had a lot to get to. We have a special guest coming up here. You're listening to The Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Three locations, a fourth and a fifth on the way. We'll give you more information on that and a whole lot more. Stick around. It's The Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our three superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionists, knowledgeable, and friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's three convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 in Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
Welcome back to the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. Ballpark Frank, Phil Devine, and Armando Vasquez in here with you. Rocking a little AC/DC Sin City. I threw a couple tunes in last night when I was doing the overnight. So, Phil, we have a special guest coming up right now.
We certainly do. Alex Dono of the Alex Dono Show from Miami. He also does pregame for the Miami Hurricanes. Alex, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. The college football Saturday. I was about to say NFL football. Get a day ahead of myself here, but I'm pumped, man. It should be a great day. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Great. We're, you know, nice early day, beautiful day here in Vegas. How's the weather down there in Miami?
I'm actually today, interestingly enough, I'm in Orlando. Since, you know, you get a Saturday off from Canes football, I'm going to do some Epcot Food and Wine Festival in a little bit. And here, kind of like Miami, it's extremely hot, extremely humid.
I do not miss the East Coast humidity, I will tell you that, right, Alex. But speaking of Miami, even though the Hurricanes, they do have an off week, they were in the news this week, just a big new facility opening up. Tell us about it.
It's something that's so important, an indoor practice facility. I mean, not only because so many other big schools around the SEC and even the ACC have indoor facilities, indoor fields, you know, superior weight rooms and all that. Really, like, the knock on University of Miami football over the last 10 years or so, since this stuff really started getting important to recruiting, was they just don't have the facilities, guys, to compete with places like Florida State and Florida and compete with schools out of the SEC. So, you know, we're really noticing with Miami football over the last 5 years or so, they're making a major effort to upgrade some of those things. They built a new weight room, a new facility, new locker room a couple of years back, and they just received a huge donation for what's going to be a $34 million indoor practice facility. So not only is that going to help them compete with some of these other bigger schools, but it's so important down in this area because, I mean, Phil, you talked about the East Coast humidity. Well, a big problem in Florida is it rains almost every day, lightning and thunder, and you don't know where and when it's coming from. So, I mean, covering this team for many years, I've seen it so many times where, you know, they have a scheduled practice. They try to do it early in the morning so that they can avoid some of these storms, but the storms still show up. You're having to cancel practices left and right, reschedule stuff for the afternoon. So, you know, to have an indoor facility, which is going to open up, we expect, about 2 years from now, 2018, it's just going to be a weight lifted off their shoulders to know that they don't have to cancel and alter so many practices.
Very nice, very nice. Now, Alex, let me ask you a question here. I'm originally from Boise, Idaho.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. No, it's definitely not another country like they say on this radio show.
It's another continent.
No. Well, I was listening to you earlier this week, and I saw that you talked to Jay Ajayi. Now, being on the other side of the country now, I'm not sure what happened to him that first week that he didn't make the trip. But I'm wondering, is his head on straight now for this week, now that he has a shot that Foster's sitting back and, mending up a little bit?
You know, I really don't know. And it's funny, if you heard me talking to and about Jay Ajayi, it probably sounded like I was ripping him, because I was a little bit.
And you should have.
And I do really root for the guy, because I was happy. You know, when the Dolphins drafted him last year, he seemed like a steal in the fifth round. Like, he fell that far because he had all these, you know, cartilage issues with his knees, so that really hurt his draft stock. As far as whether or not he has his head screwed on straight, I look at Ajayi as being a guy who right now, he seems a little shook to me, because there have been so many negative columns written about him in the media. Dolphin fans have really turned on him. I don't know how aware he is about the outside noise from fans. I'm not sure if he ever checks social media or anything like that, but you know, I'm sure he is aware right now that his coaches don't have a lot of faith in him and the media doesn't have a lot of faith in the guy. So, I mean, his biggest issue has been he's had, you know, very few opportunities so far this year when it comes to preseason or regular season. And he already has two fumbles. And it's just it's something that this new Dolphins coaching staff, I mean, no coaching staff should tolerate fumbling. But it's really annoyed them, and they're not very stacked at the running back position. So coming into this week, guys, coming into tomorrow's game with, you know, Arian Foster's not going to play because he's got a groin injury, that would seemingly create an opportunity for Jay Ajayi to be potentially the starter and the featured back. You know, Dolphins coach Adam Gase has not confirmed who the starter is going to be, and that might be another indictment on Ajayi. You know, you also have Isaiah Pede to choose from in that backfield, who's okay but not great. You know, Kenyon Drake out of Alabama, he's a rookie. So I think you're going to see some kind of a running back by committee tomorrow. And if you ask most Dolphin fans who they think is going to be kind of the breakout guy tomorrow against Cleveland, I think most would say Isaiah Pede, and a lot of people think that Ajayi needs to get his head on straight.
No, most definitely. That he definitely does have to do. I'm just, you know, being a big fan of his, I'm a little concerned that I don't know if he comes back from this. I don't know if he's mentally tough enough to do that.
Well, I'll tell you this. 2 weeks ago, I didn't think he was even going to still be on this team. So I think from that standpoint, he's already gotten maybe halfway out of the doghouse because week one, when the Dolphins were flying over to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, you know, what had reportedly happened was he had been told that he was not going to be the starting running back, that he had been beaten out by Arian Foster for that starting job, and he didn't take it well. Instead of taking it as a challenge and an opportunity to try and, you know, try and make plays, he took that as an insult and sulked about it. So he was deactivated week one, didn't even make the trip with his team. And I had thought for about a week there that he might end up getting cut or traded. So I think just the fact that he's still on this team and that he's practiced well, reportedly, because we don't get to watch much of practice. We get to watch, you know, 20 minutes of stretching basically every day. But he's reportedly been practicing well the last couple of weeks. So I think he's made some progress.
Nice. Well, certainly when it comes to football, most people consider the quarterback position the most important. Some people think it's the most important in all of sports. What is the feeling down there with Ryan Tannehill? Because when they took him, some people questioned it. Some people thought, okay, here's a kid that was a wide receiver. They turned him into quarterback. He's got a big upside. Are they still thinking he's got a big upside there? Or are some people thinking that, you know, he hasn't really worked out? Because that's what people in other parts of the country are kind of saying about him.
Yeah, a lot of people are thinking that he's not working out. I mean, I think Dolphin fans have looked at Ryan Tannehill, who he's in his fifth year now, which is hard for any of us to really believe, because for, you know, the first four seasons plus, it's always just kind of been, okay, when is Tannehill going to arrive? When is he going to take the next step? And some people would make excuses for the guy because he spent, you know, half of his college career playing wide receiver. So it's like, oh, he's still making the transition into a new position. But no, I think at this point, you know, most Dolphin fans have come to the grips that Tannehill is probably just an above-average quarterback and nothing more than that. But I will say this, though. The one thing that people are holding out hope and holding out faith on is the idea that, you know, Miami's head coach Adam Gase, he's known as a quarterback whisperer, right? Like, he got the best out of Jay Cutler last year. He was able to make Tim Tebow look serviceable back in Denver in 2012. You know, he worked with Peyton Manning. I'm not going to say he taught Peyton Manning anything, but Peyton does sing his praises. So people are thinking that, you know, maybe Adam Gase is the quarterback whisperer who can take Tannehill to the next step. So I think for that reason, even though many, if not most, Dolphin fans are thinking, hey, you know, they may be a year or two away from kind of reshuffling and maybe drafting a quarterback and starting all over again, I think most everyone is willing to kind of sit back and wait, let the season play out and see if Gase can work some magic with Ryan.
Well, let me just give you a little bit of friendly advice here, because I'm a Chicago Bears fan from Chicago. We thought the same thing with Gase, with Jay Cutler. That's still not working out for us. So you might not want to, you know, ride that horse too long.
Right. You sound a little bitter there, Frank.
No, I'm a lot bitter.
Alex, you should have seen his eyes as soon as you mentioned got the best out of Cutler.
The best out of Cutler when he's not in the damn field.
Well, he says he got the best out of Cutler anyway. I guess I should double check that with him.
Hey, he got him a contract or something.
He got the best out of Cutler because he had Forte, Bennett, Marshall, and Jeffries back then.
There, and Matt Forte is somebody that I wish the Dolphins had really made a bigger effort to sign Matt Forte, because if you go back to the running back position, I mean, the reason why the Dolphins are where they are right now at running back, having kind of like an alphabet soup of nobodies, is that, you know, they let Lamar Miller go to Houston for $6 million a year. They could have paid him that money if they wanted to. They decided, oh, running back is too interchangeable. You know, they kicked the tires on people like Matt Forte and C.J. Anderson. They couldn't sign these guys, and now we're stuck with what we got.
Well, what's it going to take, Alex, to get this offense moving? I mean, obviously, first two games are on the road, but if you actually look at last week, I mean, six drives in the first quarter or first half alone were less than four plays. I mean, what is it going to take to get this offense going?
It's been the million-dollar question, and the only answer that Adam Gase or Tannehill or anybody, the offensive coordinator, Clyde Christensen, who spoke this week, obviously you'd like to look at what they did in the second half of that New England game when they were, you know, moving the ball at will, and how can you trap that in the bottle and come out with that right out of the gate? I don't think anybody really knows. All I can tell you is that they've really put an emphasis on working from a tempo in practice this week, and, you know, getting first downs has been the key. The third down conversions for this team have been brutal, specifically in the first half of games. So I think that they need to be better on first down to be better on third down. But for whatever reason, so far, only 2 weeks in, granted, but you know, the Dolphins have had really a hard time finding a rhythm on offense. As soon as they hit kind of that first big play, you know, 15, 20-yard catch, move the chains a couple of times, then they seem to get into a rhythm. But for whatever reason, it's taken them kind of a half so far to get into rhythm. So I think a lot of that is going to be, maybe a lot of that is going to be rectified this week, because, listen, I know the Dolphins aren't very good, but the Cleveland Browns are a lot worse on paper. So this could be an opportunity for these guys to get into a rhythm early in the game tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely a good opportunity for them tomorrow. You got Cleveland's third-string quarterback going in, and, I mean, they couldn't do anything with their first and second-string quarterbacks in there, so it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. Now, Alex, are you a cup is half full or cup is half empty type guy? Because you look at the way the Dolphins played in their first two games, I have to admit, I was a little positive. Now, I'm not a Dolphins fan, but, I mean, going to Seattle and cross-country, didn't give them a chance in that game, kept it close. Now, I don't know if that was based on because Seattle is really as bad as they look this year.
They're horrible.
But then, I mean, horrible showing in the first quarter.
They have
that's,
no line.
They don't. You're right. And now, but let's move on to the week after, where, like you mentioned, Alex, they had that great come from behind in the second half against the Patriots. And seeing what the Patriots did to the Texans on Thursday night, you a little positive about this season, or are you not? We're done.
The problem is, it's hard to try and sell, and I know you didn't use this phrase, but I'll use it to fill in the blanks. Like, it's hard to sell the moral victory idea to Dolphin fans because, you know, we've been through 15, 16 years of just mediocrity since, you know, the Dan Marino era ended essentially. So, I mean, there, even if you go back to, you know, 2007 when they went 1-15, several of those were pretty close losses until the injuries started to really mount up and then they started getting blown out later on that year. But it's hard to really look a Dolphin fan in the eye and say, hey, you know, you only lost to New England by 7. You only lost to Seattle by 2. You should be feeling pretty good about this. I think until they get those first couple of wins, I don't think anybody down in Miami is going to really feel like the team is turning the corner. I do agree that they have some things that they can build on as far as, you know, the tempo offense goes, as far as, you know, in the Seattle game, they were getting good penetration from the defensive line. You've just never seen two or three phases kind of working together in harmony. You haven't seen complementary football. And, you know, one of the other kind of big questions I look at is this team does have some seemingly fatal flaws, whether it be, you know, with the running game, whether it be, you know, issues at the linebacker position, whether it be something on the defensive line that's really been kind of the elephant in the room the last couple of weeks is, you know, I would say that arguably one of the best players in franchise history is on this team right now in Cameron Wake, and they can't seem to find a way to use him because he's 34 years old. His body's been breaking down a little bit. They have relegated Cameron Wake to become just a pass down specialist, a pass rusher. They're only going to use him on obvious passing downs like third and long. But the result has been he only gets on the field 29 snaps in week one, 16 snaps in week two. And you really have to wonder, is he that bad against the run that you can't use the guy, you can't create more opportunities? Because the fact that they're not finding a way to get, you know, what should be one of your best players on the field for more than 16 snaps is a little bit troubling. So, you know, they definitely have some things they can build on, specifically from last week, but I think they do have a lot to work on, guys, and it's kind of tough. It's tough to sell any Dolphin fan on the positives from an 0-2 start, because just the moral victory argument after 15 years, it doesn't carry a lot of weight.
Well, and another thing that's got to be a little bit troubling or a little bit disheartening down there is everybody in that division was supposed to be looking forward to the first quarter of the season when Tom Brady wasn't going to be playing. Now, as it turns out, well, we know the Patriots are going to be 3-1 at the worst, and who knows, they might put Julian Edelman in there, and they might be 4-0 without Brady, and then Brady will be back. Hell, something tells me Belichick could win if he had Johnny Manziel at quarterback.
He'd
have a 24/7 bodyguard around him so he couldn't have a drink, but what's the feeling down there? I mean, you're constantly looking up at New England.
Oh, it's been hopeless. I mean, ever since 2001, when Tom Brady took over for Drew Bledsoe, it's seemingly been hopeless. But to what you're saying, I've been trying to tell, you know, my listeners, primarily Dolphin fans, to give more respect to Bill Belichick, because, you know, Dolphin fans can be a little bit petty about the Patriots. Like, they'll throw in all the Deflategate stuff, the Spygate. They'll try and throw that in people's faces. And sometimes I hear this petty argument that kind of cuts both ways, where a lot of Dolphin fans, and I imagine Jets and Bills fans probably do the same thing, they'll try and tear down the Patriots by saying, you know, one argument is, well, you know, Tom Brady is overrated. He's a system quarterback. He's thriving because Belichick is so great. But then those same people will also tear down Belichick, saying, oh, well, he's overrated. He's been riding Tom Brady's coattails for the last 15 years. I mean, which is it? Can it be a little of both? Can't we agree that not only is Brady an all-timer, he's a first-ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever, but Bill Belichick also might be the most genius head coach we've ever seen. The fact that he can find a way to put a hurting on Houston like he did two nights ago with a third-string quarterback and might have to play a wide receiver at quarterback coming up, that's pretty damn impressive, guys.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, he may be a system quarterback. More people ought to be using that damn system then.
Agreed.
Okay, Alex, an MMA question real quick.
Are we
America top team? Black Zillions? I think Black House is down there too. Where do you stand on the fence there?
You know, I'm an I've got ATT. People I know and friendly with from ATT and the Black Zillions, okay. But I'm an ATT guy. I'll tell you that, because it's been around so much longer, and when I first started doing radio shows, like when I first started doing solo shows back around 2007, and I was like always looking to get fighters on as guests, like I used to just basically bother and email some of the guys, like the GM and the coaches at American Top Team, basically begged to give guys on my show, and they were so nice. Like, I used to talk to people like, you know, Tiago Alves a lot back in the day, Dean Thomas, who's still a friend of mine to this day. So I've got some friends at the Black Zillions, but I will always be partial, at least a little bit, to American Top Team.
So where were you at with Woodley and Lawler when they fought last month, or few months ago?
See, that was the thing, man. I was with Woodley for one major reason, right? Well, actually, two major reasons. One, I actually, in a rare moment of mental clarity, I did pick Woodley to win the fight. I'm usually wrong. I got that one right. And the other one is that you know, Tyron Woodley, like, he trains very closely with Dean Thomas, who I mentioned, who's been a good friend of mine for many years. And so for that reason, kind of having some insight on the camp and knowing Dean very well and not knowing some of Robbie's close inner circle people very well, I was leaning to Woodley for that fight.
I had that totally wrong.
I think a lot of people did. I think a lot of people assumed, you know, Woodley being out for almost a year and a half, you know, just waiting for that title shot. And Lawler, like Woodley said, I'm not afraid of the boogeyman. And everyone did consider Robbie Lawler the boogeyman.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he was putting people's lights out. So, you know, Alex, we are up against the clock. And I appreciate the time with us today. Tell everyone where they can reach out to you on social media.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. That's where I spend most of my social media time. It's at Alex Dono. Dono spelled D-O-N-N-O. You can also find me on Facebook just under that same name. I think I'm the only Alex Dono, maybe in the world, at least on Facebook. So definitely check me out there.
Thanks again, Alex, so much for the time.
Come to Vegas to a fight.
I will. I would love to go back there. So I'll see you guys soon. Thank you.
Take care, Matt. Thanks.
All right. Sounds good. Alex Donald there. Man, we got to get him back on again here soon because we didn't even get into the Chris Bosh stuff or any of that stuff.
Didn't.
But, you know what? We are up against a break here. You are listening to the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. When we come back, we'll dive a little bit deeper into the MMA world. Stick around.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas. All of our superstores carry vitamins, supplements, proteins, and weight loss health food for all your supplement needs at below online and wholesale pricing. Vegas Discount Nutrition is the only wholesale outlet in the state, providing a massive $1 million inventory for you to choose from, all at 30 to 60% off retail prices. Our three superstores are the highest rated and most reviewed nutrition stores in the USA, according to Yelp and Facebook. The entire Vegas Discount Nutrition staff are certified nutritionists, knowledgeable and friendly. They will help you with all your health, fitness, and supplement needs. If you're looking to lose weight, gain muscle, or just maintain a healthy body, come and see why all the professional athletes and entertainers shop here. Our number one goal is your 100% complete satisfaction. Stop in today to get your free samples and see why we are rated the number one nutrition stores in the USA. Visit any one of Vegas Discount Nutrition's three convenient superstore locations, Eastern and Silverado Ranch, 215 in Flamingo, or 215 in North Decatur.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, and it's time for a little MMA talk, so I thought this was appropriate music to bring in.
Very appropriate. Before we do that, Vegas Discount Nutrition is opening up a new store.
They certainly are. Actually, it's really cool news because we were talking about it. We've been talking about it leading up to their opening of the Fashion Show Mall,
yes,
which is a big deal.
November 1st.
That would be their fourth store. Well, it turns out, no, there's going to be a fourth store before that store. 7501 Westlake Mead will be opening in October. It was formerly a J&J Nutrition. Now you get to save all those former J&J customers will now get to save a little money because J&J has become Vegas Discount.
Save a little money, have a better assortment and variety of products to get,
and a whole
better service, more information.
Absolutely, it's
and the fourth store now becomes the fifth store.
The fifth store, which will then lead on to the sixth and the seventh, and we do have a store opening up there in Phoenix next month as well. So, we hit the mother load when it comes to sponsorships over here.
Yes,
when
we
landed the big fish, so to say.
And that is one of the reasons why Big T is frequently not on the show, because he's busy out doing important stuff, making sure that the show stays on the air.
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, hey, and Armando, I know last week you ripped out of here just to run down to the Olympia. Did you have a good time?
I did.
I don't know. Frank,
I survived it.
Frank, did you see the video that Armando had with John Jones?
I did not.
Tell him the story really quickly before we get into the MMA talk, because I got to say, John Jones surprised me last week.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting there in line as me and the homeboy Ed always do to get an autograph, a picture with a fighter, as we do all the time. Well, my daughter, Amanda, decides to text me and says, how's it going? Took a little snapshot of John Jones, so I'm in line for John Jones. Well, she decides to text me.
With a cuss word.
With a cuss word, a very ugly cuss word, you know. So I'm like texting her back, really? You're talking to your dad, you know, really? You're talking to your dad like this? And she tells me she's so excited that get me an autograph. So, okay. So we go around, come up to John Jones, and I go, hey, John, look what happened. So I showed him the text that my daughter, he grabbed my phone and decided to send her a video message. Like, hey, you're using bad words to your dad?
The moral compass of John Jones strikes again.
So like,
He's proving that he is a changed man and ready to get back in the cage.
It was a bump in the road for him, so to say.
Everybody has a hiccup now and then.
Oh, it was sensational. I mean, all of a sudden he's like, what?
Would that be the quintessential do as I say, not as I do story?
Right, absolutely. Where did you learn how to do this?
I learned it from you! Especially since he uses the word that she used in via text right afterwards.
Yeah, I found it amusing. I definitely did. But we do not have a lot of time, so let's just really get on to this thing. First things first, before we get into the UFC fight night tonight from Brazil with Chris Cyborg. Tyron Woodley, we talked about him with Alex Dono just a little bit ago. Tyron Woodley not happy with the UFC. And do you know why?
Well, I know a lot of people aren't happy with the UFC right now.
let's start with Tyron Woodley.
No, okay,
number one. Nate Marquardt, former Strikeforce champion, former UFC, still fights in the UFC, been fighting for, you know, about, seriously, 15, 20 years.
Well-known name.
Well-known name. He's got a fight coming up on UFC Fight Pass. So what the UFC does to promote this is they show Nate Marquardt violently knocking out Tyron Woodley from Strikeforce. A fight 5 years ago. A fight that absolutely has... And now... You're putting your champion, and you're showing your champion, your number one guy, getting put to sleep. And they have this on a GIF repeatedly going. Like, he's pissed. And rightfully
so. And he should.
And rightfully so. Now, and there are a lot of fans out there saying, oh, stop crying about it, stop whining about it. You are showing the UFC champion in his most vulnerable position, laying unconscious on the floor. And you're promoting some of... Why would you... There are so many other highlights in Nate Marquardt's career that that's the one you pick to choose? That's the one you show?
Well, but they're promoting the fight. He's knocking out the champ. It's respect.
No, it's respect? No respect.
Who's respect?
It's no respect to the champ.
Do you guys know sarcasm?
I do. And actually, let's talk about no respect to the champ, because apparently... The UFC gave no respect to their lightweight champ in Eddie Alvarez. Now, a lot of news has been breaking this past week about UFC 205 in New York City. Well, UFC 205 in New York City is headlined by Tyron Woodley and Stephen Thompson. There are people out there saying that we deserve a better fight. We deserve more. I look at UFC 205, and if I still lived in New York and this was the card that they were bringing to Madison Square Garden, I would not have one problem whatsoever.
It's a great card.
It's a great card. You have two title fights, but apparently people want more. And rumor is, now this rumor is coming from Brandon Schaub, who does a podcast with Brian Callen, and it's called The Fighter and the Kid. And Brandon Schaub says he still has some friends inside the UFC with, you know, the knowings of what's going on. And apparently Eddie Alvarez was offered a fight with Conor McGregor at UFC 205 in Madison Square Garden. But Eddie Alvarez wanted a little more money.
And rightfully
so. He's like, you know what? I'm fighting McGregor. Let me get a little piece of the pay-per-view buy, maybe a little piece of the gate, a little something.
After what Diaz got,
yeah,
he should get something more. Eddie Alvarez is a damn good fighter.
Now, remember, this is just rumor. This is hearsay. I don't know if this is what happened. But apparently, when Eddie brought this up to the UFC was like, oh, you want more money? Well, you're not fighting Conor McGregor now, and now you have to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov at UFC 206 or 207. Now, Eddie is saying that this is not at all true, but I think he may be trying to save face. I honestly think this is something that happened. I think the UFC trying to, like they did with Conor at UFC 200, you know, they're not trying to lose control. They're not letting the fighters dictate what's going on. But in a situation like this, I think if Eddie, your champion, any champion, doesn't just have to be Eddie Alvarez. I think if they ask for something like that, I think you give it to him.
No, you do, and I think you're right. And right, he should, especially since you have the cash cow in McGregor, why not? It's not like the UFC ain't going to get their money.
Now, let's look really quickly at UFC 205. I mean, you got Woodley Thompson. You got Joanna Champion, so to say. Yep. I do not want to butcher her last name, but I mean she's defending the title against Carolina Kowalskiewicz. Again, just ruin that name. Kelvin Gastelum, Donald Cerrone, Frankie Edgar against Jeremy Stevens.
How's he opening up the pay per view? Come on,
Rashad Evans, Tim Kennedy, I believe, is opening up the pay per view. Okay. So I mean, you've got a hell of a fight card right there. There is no reason for anyone to be complaining. Tonight, UFC Cyborg. Her second UFC fight. Remember, she is the Invicta featherweight champion, but this is a catch weight against Lena Landsberg. Listen, Landsberg, she's known as the Elbow Princess. She may only have 7 MMA fights to her name, but she's got well over 60 Muay Thai fights. Oof. She's going to be prepared. The Elbow Princess is a very appropriate name, but is she good enough to beat Chris Cyborg? I don't think so. I think Chris. Okay. This is another one that is just a wash.
Okay, tell me how insulted you guys are about what I'm wearing today, please.
I'm not insulted at all. No, everyone out there, Colin Kaepernick has made an appearance in the studio.
Why?
Not at all. Because I don't care about it. I don't care about it. It's his right to do what he wants.
Exactly.
And it's my right to feel any way that I want about it.
Preach it there, Phil.
Now, also another fight that I'm looking forward to tonight, Henan Barao, Felipe Nover.
Yes.
But one that I'm not looking forward to that I may have three or four years ago, I probably would have given my left pinky toe to see. Tonight, not so much. Roy Nelson versus Bigfoot Silva.
We out.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for Phil Devine, for Armando Vasquez, and for our special guest, Alex Donnell. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.